You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And friends, we are back. Last year, we dove deep into The Traitor Season 2, and now The Traitor Season 3 is upon us. We are tackling the first half of the season, and we'll also touch in a little bit on the most recent goings on at The Challenge. It's a reality competition catch-up, and there's no one better to join us than our friend, our returning guest, Darren Karp. Darren, what's up?
Crowd goes wild.
Yay!
new dog mom. So I'm coming in with a lot of different good opinions now that I've opened my heart to motherhood, full motherhood. Brandi, I know you have no idea about this. Dan, you certainly don't. So as the only parent, obviously, on this podcast, I'm excited to be here. And let me just say, like, I'm glad they're mixing it up a little bit for Traitors. Let's
jump right into the Traitors. Because we had a really hard time not talking about it before we started recording. So I think we can just get right into it. We're six episodes in.
First of all, can I just say, I can't believe that we're six episodes in. Guys, I was so looking forward to this coming back and like just living in this Traitors world. And you saying what we're halfway done, I am so sad.
I know. We're doing the reunion at the end of this month in LA, and I go to it every year because Andy does it, obviously. And it happens so quick. Like, and I was saying this to Dan, Brandi, just as like a side note. It's like, for some reason, the fact that the show falls in January makes me like, it's such a good show, but I don't know why. Like, it needs to start in September. Like, it needs to like have a better ramp up. It's just like, blah. And so it goes by quickly. Yeah. But it's been a great season. I mean, I think what we talked about last season, let me just jump right in.
Yeah.
They needed to switch up the fucking challenges because I couldn't see, let's build this dragon and light it on fire anymore for $7,000. I just couldn't see it anymore. I did not want to see it.
No, instead we're going to fill a barrel full of gunpowder and explode a huge traitor statue instead.
Okay, but at least with that first challenge, at least it made it seem like, yeah, you have to choose people on the go to not get shields. These people are being put up for murder. You have time. Like, put stakes in at least earning the money. I mean, I think we can all agree that they should just be playing for fucking immunity or shields for that week.
I think it should only, I think there should be like four shields up for grabs. And I think that like you need to be like, I loved when they had to decide like who's going to get off the boat right now.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like and make it like those are the kind of decisions that I want to see in the moment, because that's the kind of shit that like gets people to turn on you at the round table is how you handle yourself in those moments. You know what I mean?
So this was one of my first questions, because this is very different from last season, because it relates to the challenges, which I still think the challenges are the most disposable part of this series. They're kind of nonsense. A lot of them I think are just kind of poorly thought out and executed.
And I don't care.
But the difference this season has been, there's been a couple weeks where you have like 10 people with shields. So it really narrows down the field of who can get murdered. I at first wasn't sure how I felt about that after episode one, where it's like all but eight people were up for elimination, or excuse me, all but eight people were safe from elimination and two of them were traitors. So only really six people could have been murdered. I'm like, this feels a little like you're not letting them really play the game. But as we've gone on, I kind of don't mind it. What do you guys think about the shields and how that's been going?
I think I prefer what Brandi said of like, there's four shields a week.
Yeah.
So even if you whittle down people as you go, okay, so the pool is going to narrow, but at least like you kind of know what to expect. Like, who are the four that are going to be protected this week? I mean, Survivor does it really well in the sense of like, there's always hidden immunity idols. And if someone has it and they go home with a hidden immunity idol, they put that back into the game. So you know that there's one left. And so
wait, so you're saying four shields every week for new people to win, or four just kind of like if you win it once, you can hold on to it like an idol, as if it's Survivor?
I could go either way with that. I don't mind it being the four shields for a week and like, yes, I can't be murdered. And then the next, it just starts up for grabs. I mean, one of the things I like about the shields is when they're playing in groups and then they don't say who's getting the shield.
I love that.
To the murderers and like to the traitors, excuse mm-hmm. me, even right. though the traitor might be in the group. I like that dynamic mm-hmm. and I would like to keep that dynamic as much as possible.
And that was a mm-hmm. much bigger part of last season. Pilot Pete, remember, arranged mm-hmm. that whole.
Yes.
Tell so-and-so that they have a shield or someone else has a sheet.
Pilot Pete had me like not liking Dylan, because I was just like, Dylan's trying to do too much.
Dylan is so Pilot Pete. He's so Pilot Pete coded. He's so Pilot Pete coded. Where he just knows how to play the game. Whereas Tom Sandoval is the fucking opposite.
Oh, Tom Sandoval.
Which, if we can just like get, like one thing that I want to get right into is that I feel like this is the worst group of traitors we've ever had.
Let's start. Yeah. Okay. So let's, by the way, to be clear, we will be spoiling the first six episodes of The Traitor season three. The Traitor. So we started with Carolyn from Survivor, Danielle yep. from Big Brother,
yep,
and Bob the Drag Queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. Those are the three initial traitors. They did their thing for like a minute. And then we had this interesting like, Boston Rob shows up in episode one, but he can only come in if someone tags him and then they must eliminate someone else. No one did it. Boston Rob went away and then he comes back an episode later as a traitor. So really from the jump, we have four traitors. Thoughts on the traitors? Brandy, you said they stink.
Yeah. So this is the thing. And because I love the show. I love everything that's going on. Like this is not a harp on the show, but I just feel like part of what I'm super interested in and wanting to see is like, how are they going to get together to like and come together on this while knowing that like by the time we get down to like episodes 9 and 10, they're going to be stabbing each other in the back. So it's like I want to see that dynamic play out. And I was interested because the traitors, I'm not familiar with any of them. I don't watch Big Brother. I don't watch Survivor. I haven't really watched Drag Race. I knew who Boston Rob was because he did a show when I was at History Channel the first time.
Wow.
He was like talent in a, I think it was called like Around the World in 80 Ways or something.
Yeah, he's just been on TV for 20 years. Yeah.
So that's what I knew him from. And it just, the fact that like, I don't know. I mean, I really like Carolyn. And I think that she's doing it right. Like she's like a little bit wacky.
And she is normally like that. I watched her Survivor season. Sorry to interrupt you, but like she is normally like that. She's like a drug rehab, mm-hmm. like counselor. I'm assuming she has been through some sort
She has. She's now sober.
Historical. Been through a lot. So like she's frenetic and she's weird, but that's what makes her a good traitor is that like she's normally weird.
Yeah.
And but you know? I feel like Danielle is not normally weird, and she's so weird as a traitor. It's just like she gets like, it's like getting like so emotional.
We need to talk about Danielle. She is so bad at this.
She's so, and like her reasonings for things. It's like, well, we need to get Boston Rob out. So in order to do that, I'm going to get Carolyn out so that I can get another traitor in here. And then we'll get Boston Rob out. I'm like, girl,
the point is for you to walk away with money.
Yeah.
You can't even get it together with these. I think the problem is you, sweetie.
Darren, you've seen her on Big Brother. Because I'm not a Big Brother watcher either, much to your annoyance. What is Danielle like on Big Brother compared to what we're seeing here?
A little bit similar. I mean, she got backstabbed horribly in Big Brother, like a famous backstab.
That's the Britney thing they talked about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Britney thing about that. And so I think she kind of came in on her back foot. You know, the truth is those types of players, unlike, let's say, the Housewives, they do have a leg up because they are competitors. I mean, this is what happened with last season with CT and Trishelle versus MJ, whereas MJ's like, let's all get along because that's the show that she's from, you know? Mm-hmm. What I don't necessarily mind the traitors. I just wish, like Bob the Drag Queen was a great traitor, but he screwed himself over, unfortunately.
He really did.
And he overplayed it just too much. But they just turned on each other. They don't trust. There's no trust there at all. Like what would have been good is like everyone thought a housewife was going to be picked. Now, obviously, none of the housewives have been picked and they're all just kind of going against him. They should have had two people from two shows on it so that there would have been like inherent trust, because right now there's just not.
I don't know about that. I think that the initial batch of traitors, the three selected, even the four, were all good if they were selected at the same time. What I think was a detriment to the traitors is you had the three of them and then Rob gets dropped in like this bomb after two or three days. So they were never able to actually get that chemistry going, you know,
and really coalesce.
Or at the very least, like last year, Parvati wasn't chosen for them. They chose Parvati to join their ranks. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it feels a little bit different. They just got dropped this bomb, who, by the way, is one of the most notorious gamers of reality TV history, who just immediately comes in and takes the bull by the horns and is like, hey guys, whether you like it or not, we're kind of going to do this my way because I'm so slick with it. I think that producing choice actually kind of fucked with their chemistry.
I see that. Listen, the Faithfuls are like all so smart yet so dumb. Like they're like both Dylan, like Dylan had Bob the drag queen, like he had him.
From day one, knew he was.
Derek, like that beautiful, beautiful round table in the last episode, which is in the running for perhaps like my favorite or maybe my most unforgettable moment. But like I was just on the edge of my seat, like just listening to Derek like lay it all out. And then for him to lay out such a compelling case and people to be like, Nikki.
It's Wes, you're too aggressive. It's Wes.
There was like I understood Derek, and Derek A won Big Brother. So you already have to have great social game to win Big Brother, hands down. You can't just with competitions. You have to have great social game. It's required for that show.
Sure.
Unlike The Challenge, which is like,
you need social game, but it's more long running.
You do. Yeah. We'll talk about season 40, but like you need physical prowess in order to really win in The Challenge. You can't win just socially. And he's a detective, like in real life, and he's gone undercover so that he knows how to read people. So already he's at an advantage. But I did, I'm friends with him. So I like DM'd him and I was like, there was a slight plausible deniability, which he didn't address, of like, it is possible that Rob just like could root him out. Like it wasn't just like, I'm showing the crew exactly how he became a traitor. I was like, yes, but that's not guaranteed. They already thought so many people were traitors who weren't.
That's the thing. It's so compelling to us because we know everything. Because
we know it, right? But to me, I was like, I don't know if you didn't know that. Boston Rob seems so obvious, you know? Yeah. And like, so it's like, oh my God, is it so obvious that I can't choose it? So like Derek kind of had common sense, like working against him in that way. That's what I was trying to say. Like it wasn't an open and shut case to me. And if I was at that round table, yeah, I don't know what I would have thought, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you
know? It's interesting because it's also too like, I wish that they would like look into how previous seasons have been produced, especially last season. Like, of course, one of those three is going to be a traitor. You know what I mean? So like, even though like when Bob says that in Rob, like in one of those challenges, Bob's like, we should look at one of the three guys who came in late. One of them is probably a traitor. And then Rob takes that to heart. And that's the inciting incident that makes him go after Bob the drag queen at my favorite round table of the season. Maybe the moment that I'll think of forever. It's like, yeah, of course. Why has no one thought about this? Why is no one going after this? Like three huge gamers from three huge franchises come in on a twist and you don't think any of them's a fucking traitor? Like, know about how this game is produced.
They should not have made any of them traitors.
But they're always going to.
That's why I thought it was, to Brandy's point about the traitors not being picked. Well, like, it is so, like, you're picking Wes, who's arguably the mastermind behind The Challenge. Derek, obviously, great game player, and Rob, and Boston Rob. And, like, they should have, they already had targets. They should have made none of them traitors to really fuck with the house.
That would have been a better decision.
It would have been a better production decision. Make Dolores Catania a traitor.
I can't believe she's not.
Like, make her a traitor because she's so unassuming and everyone loves her.
Guys, make Gabby Windy a traitor. Are you kidding me? You know?
Like, best line of the season, though, was the first episode. And she was like, I'm from The Bachelor. She's very nice. I'm from The Bachelor. How'd that go? Well, I'm a lesbian now. And I was like, excellent. And so for me, because I watched The Bachelor, Big Brother, Survivor, obviously all the Housewives, I'm so invested in people's histories that it was just, it makes it so much better. But yeah, they should have made none of those guys traitors and all of them Faithfuls. That's what they should have done.
Yeah. Let's continue. I want to dig into more of this cast. We've lost quite a few by now. So just the murder order, it went Dorinda.
I just feel like she would have just been so good at her round table, like, because I just couldn't see Dolores as a traitor.
She was never a traitor.
I can just see her just, like, writing so hard, but then, like, digging herself into a hole. Like, it just...
I miss those rants. We are definitely missing part of that. Yes.
So we lost her early. We lost the three out of the first four murders were all housewives. Dorinda, we lost Chanel Ayan. Then Jeremy, the survivor, who was pretty much a non-issue all season. Robin Dixon, who I don't know the housewives. I was really enjoying Robin. And then she gets murdered.
She was so much better on Traitors than she is on Housewives. Like I feel like she's a real dud on Housewives because she.
I hear she's sleepy. She's very sleepy. Like literally.
Very sleepy. And like, just like, I feel she's like beautiful. Never. It's just like, let's talk about Juan, Robin. Okay. Like, if you want to talk, let's talk about Juan. But like I was like, Robin's ranking it on Traitors. Like, okay, girl. Yes. Robin Dixon clocked in.
Yeah, she did. She did. I like when they're able to like stretch out of their comfort zones. And it's like, it's beyond to me that all the housewives like went first. Like, it's just so.
Just Dolores left. I know.
It's just Dolores left. And it just feels weird that those people would go. It's not like such an odd decision to me.
You know why? Because I think it wasn't really a group decision. Like, we constantly see, going back to the Traitors, Carolyn kind of gets steamrolled up there. And yeah. I'm excited for where we are now because it seems like we're on a precipice of Carolyn really stepping up and just like throwing her weight around a little bit. But those first handful of murders, she's like, I don't think we should keep going for housewives. I think it's pretty dumb. And the other two or three were like, no, we're going to do it anyway. She's like, ugh,
and they're
fine,
not
whatever.
A threat. They're yes. So not a threat. They're not going to speak up at a round table and be like, I think it's Boston Rob. Like, they're going to go with the flow. That's just how it is. You know, yeah. Even Dolores said, I think it was last episode, in episode six, she's like, when someone makes a compelling argument, I'm going to go with it at the round table. Yeah. And I'm like, right, exactly. You're right.
Dude, this game is just groupthink. It's go with the flow. It's go all with the group. It's the whole thing.
Which is why I give credit to Dylan, because I think that he's willing to speak his mind. I love Bob the Drag Queen so much. I saw him at Madonna. He's amazing. He was like the MC sort of for this Madonna concert. And he was just amazing. But when he got mean and was like, your brother's a bad actor.
Oh,
I was like, you're an asshole for no reason. And he's also like, and he's not a bad actor.
He's
and also
not
like,
a bad
what actor. What does it have to do with Dylan?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Dylan's not the actor.
Dylan is like cute old face. He's so cute.
Yeah. I just was like, that's lame. Like, that just seems like something that like a housewife would say, to be honest.
So yeah, I think he was just flailing. I actually wrote down the quote because I thought it was so funny. Dylan is coming after Bob and he's telling the table why. And he's like, Bob's an amazing actor. And I grew up with an actor. And then Bob says, not a good one. And then Dolores goes, that's not nice.
Yeah. I love Dolo, man. I love Dolo. I love her as a person. She's great. She's great. She's amazing.
We also lost Bob Harper, kind of a non-entity.
Really liked him.
Best dressed.
Like, he would have been one of my favorite. But also, like, I loved him because he started coming around to Rob before he got gone.
Well, that's what he got. That's what he got gone.
No, and I think he could have been good.
Yeah. And then banishments in order. It went Wells first from The Bachelor. Tony from Survivor.
I forgot about Wells.
I know. Bob the Drag Queen was banished successfully. The crowd goes wild. And then we should talk about this. Then the Nikki Sierra situation that was the story for like an episode and a half. So Nikki went, and then Wes just lost his toe-to-toe with Rob, and he went home in this last episode. So five murdered, five banished. The traitor move, so at some point they needed to nominate three people, basically shortlist three people for murder. And put them all in a coffin. Or like, what was it? The people would be called in their coffins in front of everybody and kind of give their last words why they shouldn't be murdered. And then under the cover of dark, they murder one. And they were allowed to put one of the traitors in the coffins. They put in Jeremy, Nikki, and Sierra. No traitors.
No traitors.
I think maybe the best strategic move they've made so far, because it got everybody spinning for a full two episodes about traitors had to have been in there.
They had to have put one in the coffin, yeah.
Which I think speaks to the collective kind of stupidity of this group of faithfuls. I just don't think they really are onto any of it. Like,
they keep having it put right in front of them, and it's just like, oh no, what's
like? I don't see that. Yeah, no, they're not. It depends who's running it. Like, if Dylan had more sway in the group, the faithfuls would actually be great. But like Tom Sandoval thinking it's Dolores Catania. Like, I think we're all set on that theory.
Oh my God.
That was also one of my favorite moments, was just the Dolores dress down of Tom.
Yes, I wrote down this quote too. She goes, Tom brings her up at the round table and she goes, I don't want you to be nervous to say this because I don't think it will make any sense, so I'm okay with it. Basically, you're too dumb to make a compelling argument, so go for it, dude.
She fucking read him. She was like, I don't even care what you're going to say. This is so much better for my game. Like, excellent commentary by Dolores, because she didn't even have to really insult him.
No.
No.
You know, she was like, please proceed, young sir. Like,
here's some rope. Go have fun with that. Don't hurt yourself with it. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, Tom Sandoval should really be just like thanking the producer gods for this turn on Traitors, because he is coming across as like so incompetent and like weird that like you're just completely maybe forgetting that like he was like such a piece of shit. And like we all collectively hated him for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, he thinks he's really smart. And the problem is like, I hate to say it, but him and Chrishell, when they were going at it, and Chrishell was like, I'm friends with his ex. I'm like, can we all agree we're over this now? Like, I think we're all past Sandoval. Like, I feel like we're done with this now. Yeah. Like Ariana won.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Decidedly. He didn't kill a person. He's not the smartest guy, but like, Do we have to keep bringing this up?
I'd rather laugh at him like comparing himself to fucking Tom Riddle because of his name. I'm like, dude, that's the villain. You understand this, right? That's Voldemort, dude. Like, I read a couple Dan Brown books. I'm like, okay, bro.
Yeah, Dan. The cast member that I don't give a fuck about is Ivor.
Don't care.
Oh yeah, don't care.
Don't care.
The royal.
Don't care.
They did a royal last year, so I feel like they're trying to go with that theme. If you're going to do that, either choose someone that's had a scandal or like a good looking person. Like, I just don't care about an old man who has no fucking relationship to any of these people. Am I wrong?
I mean, we kind of had John last season who was old and British and had no relationship to anyone, but he was interesting.
Yes, but he was spicy and he spoke and he was like... Yeah, he had takes and he was interesting. Ivor's like boring and kind of rude. And I'm just like, who are you? Like,
you know who's boring? And I forget he's on the show all the time and I have no use for?
Sam.
Sam Asghari.
Poor Sam. Poor Sam, who's just like, I dated Britney Spears. And we're like, oh yeah.
His one singular moment was like, ooh, Sam, nice headband. He's like, yeah, I got it from Britney. And everyone's like, which one?
That was the one moment.
His only moment was co-opted by his ex.
And you know that he had to sign some hella NDAs. So, like, the only reason he's there is because we want to hear him talk about dating Britney, and he definitely cannot.
I know. So, Dolores, we mentioned she's great. Dylan has been great. Derek, we mentioned, is great. Sandoval, we talked about. Gabby, we mentioned, has been really, like,
I like her. I like the Bambies. I like the Bambies.
Also means Chrishell from Selling Sunset. Mm-hmm. I think she's had some moments.
The lesbians.
Yes.
Killing it. Killing it for the win this season, baby. Come on. Yeah.
Brandy, I need more from Sierra. I remember when we were talking about the casting, you're like, she's going to bring it. She's awesome on Summer House. I haven't seen it at all.
She's very outspoken on Summer House, and she's smart.
Yeah.
Okay, where is it on The Traitors?
Like, I feel like she hasn't, like, if people keep coming for her, I think that you're going to see her get more spicy, but I don't think that she's had a good foil yet. Mm. Like, I feel like on Summer House, like, she's got a good antagonist. Like, she's got a good antagonist. And I feel like I haven't seen that from anybody on the show yet.
She had one moment where Derek was like, the number one thing if someone's pretending to tell the truth is they curse a lot. It's Sierra, you cursed. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
She's like, sweetie, I live in New York City. Like, yeah. I'm cursing, you know? And like that might be true in an interrogation room. But like, you know, this, it does require a little skill set. I mean, the problem with Traitors for Sierra is that the moment you say something, anything, I call you out, Dan, I call you out, Brandy, is like you become a target.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's a correct assumption or not. So like, you sort of are incentivized to be quiet a little bit in that way and like hide behind a lot of other people unless you feel fully attacked. But when she was in the grave or coffin, you know, and like they were like, give us your best case, and she was like, either fucking believe me or you fucking don't. And I was like, okay. True. You know, I was like, I am sold on this woman's convincing. I was like, that's kind of how I feel too. It's like,
I know. There's,
you know, you want to kind of be cool, and sometimes being cool is not defending yourself overly, because if you defend yourself overly, you look guilty. And so it's like a really delicate balance of, it's like, how much line do I push this person? You know, like, am I convincing someone or am I trying to like defend myself? And it's just a tough line.
It's a tough line because then you see people like Nikki who you're like, I want you to defend yourself. I think I want to see more of you. But she's like, you guys have made up your minds. And you could almost tell that like they probably cut out a lot that we didn't see. But she's like, there's nothing I can say. Just going to put a sad face on and wait to tell you all that you're idiots because I'm a faithful, you know.
I hope that there was stuff that they cut out of that because I really just felt like she just went with like just a whimper into the night.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Big picture, I'm looking through my notes. Big picture, how do you think this is stacking up to last season? I do like that they're bringing some things back. We have the over-the-top B-roll when everyone's getting ready for bed. We have the round table song that we love that kicks in every time.
So a bit of a new remix.
Bit of a new mix, some new lyrics in there. Mm-hmm. We have the challenges that basically mean nothing. I think that has gotten a little bit. The one with the clowns. That resulted in no shields and no money. I'm like, what was the point of the last 15 minutes?
It's just so stupid. Like, stop doing that. Like, I barely understood that riddle game where they had to, like, smash the thing.
Because the riddles were so easy.
Not only were they easy, but I was like, wait, are they smashing it to get a shield? Are they smashing it to get it right? Like,
they're smashing it to get it right, to have the right to put someone up. I will say, though, I liked that challenge because it allowed Danielle to fuck up.
Yes.
Which I liked. I like seeing something where people could mess up a political, social, strategic aspect of something. I thought that was good. But the setup to get to who are you putting on the wall for a shield was kind of whatever.
I just don't care about the games. I mean, I've never cared about the games. I mean, I do kind of miss having it be real people and celebrities. I do miss that. Just a touch. I know why they can't do it. I understand.
Do you watch UK?
I have watched UK. And I like that they had like, they'll have like one minor famous person in the Australia version. They had a guy who was like held hostage or something for like half a year for something kind of minorly famous. I like the normal people because then you don't have any, you don't know what you're going into. You don't know these people. They don't know you.
I think they actually play the game better and with more like passion. They take things more personally. The money is more real to them. Like I like Traders UK for that reason. It's a very different animal than Traders US. Can we talk about, because we've circled around a little bit and I want to bring in another show that maybe you might be watching, Darren. Mm-hmm. Are you watching Deal or No Deal Island, or have you watched Deal or No Deal Island?
I have not. I should, though, because I've heard it's good.
Parvati's on it this season. This guy from Survivor Australia, who's like the goat of that franchise, is on it. Boston Rob was on it last season. And it's objectively not a great show, I'll be honest. The challenges are kind of hokey. It all ends with someone playing Deal or No Deal. If they make a good deal, they get to stay and kick somebody else off. If they make a bad deal, they get eliminated. But I keep sticking around because the stakes are huge. They are adding millions of dollars to this final case that's going to be up for the winner at the end. Like, the winner stands to win upwards of, like, if they play every, like, $5 million. So I'm like, this show isn't excellent, but I can't stop watching because the stakes are so high and so real. Whereas I watch The Traitors, I'm like, I'm watching this for the personalities and, like, the moments, but there are no stakes.
No.
Right?
No. And we all know that these people, because they're famous, are getting paid per episode. So like,
right.
If there was normal people, them winning $6,000 a challenge matters.
Yeah.
That matters. And you don't know them, you know, like everyone's like, oh, well, all the housewives are obviously traitors. And you're like, A, why would that be? That'd be the stupidest casting choice ever. And B, like, that doesn't make any sense. And so there's just so much bias there. When you asked originally how it's comparing to last season, it's hard for me to say right now because we're only halfway through.
Yeah.
And the next six could be a crazy trajectory because I feel like at six episodes last season, I didn't know if the season was going to end with a bang, which I thought it really did, of just MJ being this kind of like amazing foil for everybody in this weird way. And she just like wanted it to be true and she believed it. Then she got played by CT and Trishelle, which I just thought was amazing. Like such good TV. That it depends. I mean, I don't like that all the traitors are turning on each other originally. I don't like that necessarily.
I kind of do, actually, because it's a new wrinkle and it genuinely leaves me like, I don't know what's going to happen next. And I think that's pretty thrilling.
Yeah.
The end of this past episode, episode six, with Carolyn finally just being like, one, they all get up there and just icy stares at each other for like two straight minutes. And like, this is unprecedented. And then by the time the, like, and we're probably only partially of the way through the whole scene, but Carolyn's openly outright just like to Danielle's face, like, all right, well, I guess Rob and I have to come after you now. And I haven't seen that before. Just this open, absolute contempt. I'm like, this is interesting. I don't think it's sustainable, however, but I think for the next episode or two, it's going to be very interesting.
I do like that because, like, if you out a traitor, you're outing yourself as a traitor.
Right.
You know? So it's like, there is, I mean, but Carolyn could really team up with Boston Rob, or she could team up with Danielle if Danielle convinces her to get Boston Rob out. Like, that could all work. Carolyn happens to be the best traitor, and I cannot believe I'm saying that.
I know. I love it, though. And that, to me, is what's keeping me, like, really engaged, because I got to be honest, and we can get to some of our superlatives here. We are the TV BFFs. Let's do a little bit of BFFs and best favorite forever. Best move of the game so far. This could be traitor or faithful. Traitors kind of inherently make the most moves in the show. But what do you guys think? What's been the best move of the season so far?
I mean, I think not putting a traitor in the coffin.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that got people talking. And I also, I'm just glad that they finally had the opportunity to get the shield and not let anybody know. I've been missing that.
We needed that.
That kind of, like, that hasn't been a thing this season so far.
I know it was very early on, but first episode when they're doing the rafting, you got to leave two people behind type of thing. I love Bob the Drag Queen's rant about how all the women were getting off and none of the men were getting off. I thought that was excellent. That's going to go as my favorite moment of the season. And I know we're going to get to that. But him getting off with Danielle and not knowing each other are traitors and, like, them talking. I don't even know if that was a move, but I just loved it. I was just like, what are the chances? I really thought they were going to go far based on that alone.
I think they sparked up a really tight alliance from the jump. And I think that actually might have been the, if you trace it back, Bob and Danielle get off swimmingly on the raft. They lock in. Maybe they figure out each other are traitors, maybe not. And then they are traitors and they're working together. And then Rob comes after Bob and Danielle spirals. I think losing Bob the drag queen has been the thing that, like, she's now, like, without a net. She's without footing.
She doesn't have an alliance member.
Absolutely spiraling. And I think that has really shaped the game. So that's an interesting moment to kind of trace all the way back.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Brandy? Oh, you said coffin.
Coffin. I agree with you. Although I think it's annoying how well it worked, and it shouldn't have worked that well. I do think it, based on the moves that have been made, that is probably the best move. I think Rob going for Bob the drag queen was great, but it's all of this is going to spell Rob's demise. Like, this is, like, those are the moves that are going to allow him to be banished in the next couple episodes.
Well, he's making himself a target. Mm. Yeah.
Favorite faithful. Or we could say favorite player if you really love one of the traitors. But who's your favorite on the cast so far? I'm going to go with faithfuls. We talked about two of them. I think it's Gabby or it's Dylan, but it's probably Gabby. I think she's really funny. I think she's a better player than anyone's giving her credit for. And I think she's just hilarious. I think she's really fun to watch. So I like Gabby a lot.
Yeah, she's smart.
My favorite is Dolores. Just hands down. I love her. She's like a nice warm blanket.
I agree. I mean, I love Dolores so much. Like, I'm at this point, if the game were to end, I'm not necessarily convinced that she would deserve the win necessarily, just because she's been playing a pretty safe game. But I love her and I think she's awesome. Like, she brings something. And Derek, you know, Derek is smart enough. He's got a little bit of the Wes and the Rob in him. But he's, like, sweeter than both of them. He's less abrasive. Right. He kind of knows when to pull back. That I'm a fan of Derek, and I would like to see him at least go far. And I think that he will, because he's very smart. As of right now, the faithful that deserves to win is Dylan.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
That feels right. Okay, now our forever moment. What's the moment from the season so far that you'll remember forever? Could be a scene, could be a line.
Just going to tell you right now, remember last season when the meme of MJ just standing, like, hushed over in the room? Okay, so, like, that was moment of the season.
Do we have a version of this yet? Do we have a version?
Version of it is Tom Sandoval scarfing food standing up with his sweaty fucking armpits.
With his sweaty armpits.
Just standing up and we're like, A, sir, why are you rushing? And B, sit down to eat. There's no one else around you. And he's, like, scarfing food, thinking about it being Dolores. Excellent moment for me. Excellent. It always is Bravo people. Like, we just can't help ourselves. We just can't help ourselves.
And the fact that he contributed to one of my unforgettable moments was when, after Alan goes around and he's chosen the traitors, Tom goes, I opened my eyes really fast.
He's like, so I saw.
And you know what I saw? She moved. I saw her move because I went right away. And it's like, are you hearing yourself?
But do you remember in that same conversation, first episode, he was like, normally I'd think it'd be Carolyn, but Carolyn's like that normally. And I was like, the one hot take you have, you're fucking wrong about it. You're so wrong.
Like, and then also instantly goes to both Bob and Danielle. It's like, well, I know you guys are faithful. I know. So.
But Bob the drag queen yelling at the men to be like, guys, get off the fucking boat. I thought was like powerful just because it was like it never really happens. Obviously, the housewives were kind of submissive and they got off first. And it was like, it was nice to see Bob the drag queen, A, get off and be like, men, get the fuck off. Like, you know, stop bullying the women into doing it. I thought that was like sweet.
We needed that energy around when the men were moving those heads and didn't help any of the women get their heads up.
That was crazy to me, although not surprising, like not surprising at all. Just crazy.
Wait, so Brandy's your forever moment, Tom, after the traitors were chosen?
No, my forever moment is actually the line that you read about Dolores.
You go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
I said, no, it's going to be stupid. Or so, I know it's not going to make any sense, and I'm okay with
that. And you know what? She was right. No one listened to him. Not one person put Dolores down.
And then, and I love that she topped it off with like, and I'm going to vote for you.
Yeah. I love her.
I'm going to go with, I'm a big roundtable person. I think those are the most thrilling aspect of every episode. And the episode 4 roundtable, where Boston Rob comes after Bob the drag queen, just a lot of iconic exchanges, right? Like the way Rob, like he's like, there's one person who's been leading this whole thing that I've had my eye on. And then he snaps his head and says, Bob the drag queen. And Bob's surprise face, that was a dead giveaway if anyone was actually watching, which was crazy. But then like Bob's like, I'm just going to say 9 words. I'm like, dude, that's a lot of words.
Yeah, I was like, did you count that out? I remember being like,
yeah, swear to God that I am a faithful. And then Boss Rob goes, let me say 2 words. You're not.
Yeah.
That whole back and forth, I just thought was incredible.
The pettiness always comes out at the round table. Yeah. And that's what I want to see. You know, the episode could be 40 minutes round table.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes just them in the house.
I love the last round table. The one where Derek went after Rob.
Yeah.
Rob goes after Wes. Wes is defending himself. I was like, this is a masterclass.
It really is.
They're teaching it.
And then, by the way, we didn't even mention Carolyn is like a denouement, a little like,
oh yeah,
after dinner dessert. She's like, and by the way, Danielle, you're shady as fuck. You've been saying my name. I'm going to vote for you.
I was like, damn.
Leading to the most awkward turret ever.
It was such a chaotic round table.
Normally, like, the traitors don't call the other traitors out unless they can have the full round table kind of agree with them. They don't want to pull that poll. They don't even give a fuck this season. They're like, no, I'm saying your name. I'm like, okay.
I like this move, though. And some people will be like, Carolyn, that's not the round table to do it. It was clearly going somewhere else. I think that's the best time to do it because Derek stuff gets finalized, the seed has been planted for the next coup.
Agreed.
I think it's really smart.
Agreed.
All right. Last thing about the traitors, some predictions. Do you guys have predictions about what's going to happen? I've thought about mine. I can go first to kind of get the thought started. We mentioned this. I think Rob gets ousted in the next episode or two tops. Mm-hmm. I think that leads to a recruitment. Although I would love to see the rule book, Brandy. They keep talking about, like, last season was all about as per the rules of the traitors. When a traitor is found, you get the opportunity to recruit. What happened to that opportunity when a traitor was banished?
I know. I keep waiting.
Whatever. I think they'll get the opportunity next time. I think they recruit someone like someone from the wings. I bet they take like Brittany. I think someone like Brittany, who's a game player, who's kind of floating around different circles. Mm-hmm. I think Danielle will like it because they wouldn't expect it because of that rivalry. I think she's close with Carolyn. So if they get Rob out, they bring in Brittany. Brittany, who then works with Carolyn to get Danielle out. And then I think it's Brittany and Carolyn that make it as far to the end as they can get.
Damn, Danielle's going to get undercut by Brittany twice in 2 different shows. Like,
that's good.
That would be great. I mean, right? I obviously think if they're smart and they get to pick, they would be smart to choose Dylan.
But is he going to go pilot Pete and turn it down?
He might.
You know?
He might, you know, and maybe he would.
Pilot Pete just said he would turn it down.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, like... Brandy like hates Pilot Pete. So like bad. The guy, I fucking so love bad. It. She's like got a huge vendetta.
It's like a year long grudge at this point.
But at the same time, like, who wouldn't kind of go for that? I mean, who like? I'd like to think that he would be smart enough to actually do it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I think there's going to be a lot of random people that go. I mean, I think they're going to keep around the people that are obviously huge risks. I mean, Derek, I think, would stay around just because he easily could be convinced to be a traitor just because he's so smart. You know, Dylan the same way. I don't think anyone really cares about Chrishell. I don't think anyone cares about Ivor. Sierra's a target, so she's not going to be murdered. She'll have to be banished because she's such a target. So the traitors would be stupid to get rid of her. I don't know. It could go either way. I mean, the finale has, in both seasons of the Traitors USA, has surprised me. Both of them have been great, great finales.
That's
so
true.
As long as it ends on a high note like that, where I'm taken mm-hmm. aback, I'm good with it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Let's switch over from one show, which is a new obsession, to a show that's been an obsession of ours since I can remember watching television and enjoying reality competition, and that is The Challenge.
Devin needs to be part of the Traitors, though. I'm just saying, next season they need to get Devin on because I would really like to see
Devin would
he
be
would be
good.
A fantastic
to bridge the gap. What challengers should be on the Traitors? Devin, I think, is a great one. I would like to see Killer Cam. I think Killer Cam could fuck shit up on the Traitors.
I think she could. I think Killer Cam would actually be amazing on it because she's yeah. really smart and very cunning. You know, I think Veronica would add something. I know she's a little bit older, but I think she would add a little something. I'd like to see, I don't think Tori would be great, but I'd like to see Laurel maybe. Kara would cry too much, unfortunately. You know, I'd like to see that. Jenny's not smart enough. I hate to say it, but she's just not smart enough to do it.
I think something like Anissa would be good.
Anissa could be good.
Anissa would be good. I mean, Jordan would be great.
I think Laurel would be terrible because she would take everything personally and she would never be a traitor.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with that, actually. Devin would be my number one pick. He is my number one pick for, I think, would be just an excellent crossover like Bananas.
You know what? Who might actually be good entertainment and I might like him better in the Traitor's box is Josh.
Oh my God, he's so stupid.
Fucking Josh.
I didn't even believe it as I said. I just wanted to see your reactions.
And every episode, I'm like, ugh, Josh.
He lost a tug of war to a man with one hand.
Yeah.
Never forget him throwing the balls.
I mean,
oh, that one. it's like, I'm sorry, Josh, you've never thrown a ball before?
Horrible.
Let's talk about season 40. Because going into season 40, I thought that the challenge was in a bad place.
I was prepared to not be watching. I stopped watching last season.
Brandy, get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm.
It's on all three of our criteria. It's the show that the three of us share. I was never going to stop watching, but I understood where you're coming from. I actually, because I'm a numbers nerd, I went through and averaged all of the episode rankings for all 40 seasons. And can I tell you something interesting?
Yes.
Season 39, Battle for a New Champion, had the second lowest average in the history of challenge season, second only to season 2 when it was brand new. Season 2 had an average of 7.00. Season 39 had an average of 7.01.
What had the highest season, the COVID season?
Highest season is Inferno 3, 8.98. So the top seasons, Inferno 3, Gauntlet 3, Dirty 30 was very high. Vendettas is pretty high, 31. Total Madness is really high, season 35. Double Agents, so some recent ones are up there. Mm-hmm. Battle of the Sexes, Battle of the Seasons, and The Ruins. Those are the top 10. Battle of the Eras came in at 23, middle ground, averaging an 8.38. The highest average was 8.98. So we're not fully back. I thought it was good. I think it kind of dipped towards the end. It was
too many episodes.
I didn't love the finale, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to talk about. I think the show is back. I'm intrigued with what they do with 41. I'm going to watch All Stars Rivals, although some of that casting is a little suspect, in my opinion.
Oh, it's good to see some of those people, though, Dan. Yeah, it's good.
It's like, good to see some of these people. I agree. Frank is back. I love it. You know what I mean?
I love Frank. Yeah. You know, the thing that it's missing, and I'm going to be honest with you, is the hookups. They don't have people hooking up anymore. They're all older with kids, and they're not willing to smash a glass and get fucking drunk. I mean, that was always this, like, side character of them partying at night, getting drunk and saying something, and then that affecting the challenge. I mean,
yeah.
Even this season, Tori and Theo being together, I mean, not Tori, Theo and Olivia being together. I was like, okay, I'm not invested.
Well, how about All Stars? We got Melissa coming in with a girlfriend at home, but she's paired with, Nicole. Nicole coming in paired with Melissa. She's like, I got someone back home, but you throw a pair of plastic tits in my face with a bombshell blonde. What's a girl to do? You know?
Give me that. Give me that all day. Like the Jordan Tory of it, you know, now that they're just like kind of forever bonded and they're never going to give up on each other. Like it would, I hate to say it, but the seasons I kind of liked were like, yeah, fuck this guy. You know, like he proposed and then we ended. And you know, now they're like, they're ride or dying for each other. And Jordan is so good that I just feel like there needs to be an element of chaos that it doesn't have anymore.
Is Jordan so good that it's boring? Like, and I think this was my issue with 40. I loved it to a point.
For that finale.
And it got to a point where it's like, well, he's clearly going to win and I'm bored, you know? And then also too, I had a big problem with the karma points because—
Huge problem.
Generally, and what makes the challenge awesome is it is a race to the finish. The first one to touch the flag wins the fucking game. But now it was everybody finish at their lackadaisical pace and then let's all line up like it's some any other challenge results and say, well, we've tabulated the karma points and guess what? This one's not going to change very much. Womp womp, Jordan, you won and that was clear. And this one is going to change a little bit and two of you tied. I'm like, shit that's happening off camera. We don't get to see these votes happening. We don't, like, this is never part of the challenge. The challenge is different from all these other shows because it's not a personality vote at the end.
There's no participation trophy at the end. You cross or you cross.
And there's no jury. There's no former players deciding who wins. That's not part of this game. Why are they trying to make it more like Survivor and Big Brother? I don't get it.
Remember when Ashley took the $1 million?
Of course.
Winningness from Hunter. Contestant ever from Hunter, which was like an amazing finale. But if you remember that finale, remember they had to like walk on 3 feet of glass to finish it? And I was like, this is the stupidest way to end this finale, but it had such big stakes that, like, I remember it being juxtaposed with this, like, lame finale. This was actually clearly a hard finale.
It was. For some reason,
I don't like Kyland. I just don't like him. I don't know why.
He's a robot. He's a robot.
He's, like, a little smug. I never liked him on Big Brother. So was I a little happy that he can't swim and this finale was going to kill him? Like, yes, I was. But there needs to be, I mean, Jordan is good. He deserved everything. He never gave up. He does all that stuff. I thought them counting coins and having to sing was great. I miss those overnights, the rivals. But again, when you end on something lame, the only reason the walking across the glass wasn't lame is because Ashley stole $1 million from fucking Hunter. When Bananas stole the 275 from Sarah. But when you end, have a great finale, such tough points. And then you end it where it's like, the two women who win have to split the fucking money, but Jordan walks away with everything. I'm like, so, and we don't really even see how the karma points are adding up throughout the whole season. We don't get a tally every single week. So we're running into this being like, okay, Jordan could win, but he has 30 less karma points than Kylan. They never showed it.
And it also counteracts the really, I thought, successful narrative of the season, which was look at these badass women. The women were so much stronger than the men throughout of the fucking season. And then they have to split a pot and Jordan gets his all to himself.
What the hell is that? Rachel represented her entire era, almost half the season, just her.
Yes.
Like, just her. And she's older, you know? And like, by the way, she would be excellent on Traders. She would be a very good choice.
Rachel, I think,
she would be a really good choice because she's got great social game and she's smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As would, who's the gay guy who did well?
Oh, David, Derek.
Derek.
I love Derek's story. I love Derek's story. He was so good this season.
And underdog. Yeah. And he's underdog like layup.
Like,
and I thought that too. I thought he was a layup too. Like, no shade. Like, I really did. I was like, oh, he's not going to go far.
Mm-hmm. You put him on an 18-wheeler swinging from side to side. All of a sudden, he fucking Spider-Man. It was awesome.
And good for him. Like, he would be great on it. But yeah, I just felt like, I don't mind when there's a million episodes. If there was a challenge episode every single week of the year, this is how I feel about Big Brother, and there's three a fucking week for 3 months, I'm always like, I could watch this every day. I'm never going to miss a season. I could watch it every day. But I felt that there were too many episodes given how they ended the fucking finale. I couldn't agree with you more, Brandy. Like, it was just like, let someone steal something. Let something happen. Like, karma, like the men who get the highest karma votes choose this something.
I feel like with the karma the karma points thing. It's like they're going in a direction I appreciate, which is like, let's add in this wild card piece that could change everything, right? We think we're going for this. But I don't think that you can leave that. We have to know that that's what's happening. Yes. We have to be freaked out that like, holy shit, like Jordan's doing really well right now, but like he might not win this. This is, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, and there needed to be more, like, I think that the players needed those stakes too, to know yeah. that like, wait a second, like if the only way I can counteract these karma points is if I do this, this, and this, like within the, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yes. It was bad formatting and clunky story producing is
yeah.
down the stretch. Yeah.
Great moment was doing the, TJ Lavin puzzle, not in the finale, but during the show. And Johnny Bananas like couldn't fucking do it. He's like, who is this guy? What's the puzzle supposed to be? Like, that was funny. That was funny.
And that's the thing, like, we're giving some shit to this wrinkle, but I do think overall it was a very successful season. I thought it had a lot of really good moments. I thought a lot of really good challenges, good eliminations.
It felt like the challenge of old. It yeah. felt like when yeah. you know we got to pick rooms. They didn't pick rooms, but you know what I mean. It's like that. It's and I felt like the you we were saying about the there's no more like hooking up and getting wasted and stuff. I felt like there was more of that in this season than sure. there has been yeah. recently,
because there were younger people that have history, you know, and that added to it. I thought like
yeah. and I feel like that's what you really need for a successful challenge season too. It's that like, I was really excited this season because of all the people who I knew who were going to be on it.
Yeah. yeah.
And I didn't really connect with last season because it's like, there were some people around who I knew, but like, not really. And it was, and it's like, and I didn't know them within the context of the show, which mm-hmm. I feel like you need those like relationships. And so I bet that's why that second season didn't really work either, because they probably had to bring on some new people.
Right. Yeah. So here's my last question. And Darren, I know we got to let you go. What do we need to see from the challenge going forward? We don't know what 41 is going to be. We've been talking about it. All Stars, now in its fifth season, has added a theme. They're doing rivals. They're pairing up people who hate each other. Some of those rivals are a bit of a stretch, but there's a solid like 6-7 teams in there that I'm like, this is juicy and this is interesting. I think that's really, that's good.
And when they reminded me in the videos yes. of why they were rivals, I was like, Yes. I love this horse historical context. Yes.
Will they be hooking up? No, they all have kids at home, but I do like that they're digging into past dirt. I think that's fun. Mm-hmm. So I think more themes on the All-Stars. All-Stars has now been put over on the mothership. It's on MTV. It's not relegated just to Paramount Plus. So I think that's interesting. But what do you guys want to see going forward? What's a theme or a hook, or like, what is the magic that needs to come back, or they need to kind of dip back into again?
I mean, I certainly think just more the social aspect of it. Like I do. I know that they're going to get older, you know, but like I need hookups. Like I need some rivalry. I need people screaming at each other on the top of their lungs.
How do you get fresh blood in? Because the younger folks,
well, they're pulling from other shows
now. Do that. I know that, but it hasn't really been working. So how do you fix that? You need the younger people.
Well, I disagree. I disagree. Michelle and Devin were a great couple this season that they were talking. Both aren't from.
Ugh, I like hate Michelle, but she's great.
But she's one survivor.
Great TV.
And
great
Devin TV. Was from Are You the One. And those people yeah. came from that. So they're pulling mm-hmm. from other areas now. They need to pull from Too Hot to Handle. They need to pull from Love is Blind. They need to mm-hmm. pull from Love Island.
Love Island.
They need to be pulling more Netflix. And they need to get out of just the mm-hmm. Paramount only bubble. Yeah.
Olivia was from Love Island and she's an amazing competitor. I mean, right. she was an amazing competitor.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I want the challenges to be like, yeah, eat bull testicles and run 10 miles.
Yeah.
And then do a fucking puzzle. I want there to be variety.
Challenges were better this season. The challenges were a lot better this season. I thought the variety was good. They had more mini finals in there, a lot more hard shit. To bring it back to casting, I agree with you. You can't get around bringing in people from other franchises. However, I think there needs to be an extra level in the casting process. Because what we miss is, like, back in the day, they were taking people from Reworld and Road Rules, and even the people on Fresh Meat and the people who went on Are You the One were often people who auditioned for Reworld and didn't get it. So right. they came through this foolproof
yeah.
casting process that now I think has been shortcutted. I'm not speaking this out of knowledge, but I just, the vibes that I get is that they've been on this show already, this other show, so they must be good. They've been vetted for us already, but they're being vetted for a different type of show more often than not. So like, before you just throw them on the challenge, run them through some of that old school real world casting. You know what I mean? Make sure you're getting the people that are going to bring the drama and the hookups and the pettiness and the grudges and the shit that we know we need to keep this stuff going, not just for that season, but for the next five seasons. So they're building grudges, they're building rivalries and all that stuff.
And I definitely think this season, season 40, proved that we can go back to Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah.
Like, I we need to go back there. We need to tap into that. And then side note, can we all believe that Nani and Casey broke up?
I know.
I know. Like, I can't.
I was a little shocked.
Watching the premiere of All Stars and they're talking about they're engaged. Trying to have, oh my God. I'm like,
and
no.
It's like, I feel so bad for Nani. Because I feel like
you think Casey did it?
I think Casey gets it.
Casey sucks. Can we just be honest? Casey, she's boring and she's breaking our girl's heart. Like, come on.
She just, I feel like she's like how she moved in on Nani's like, Casey knows what's up. Casey's an apex predator. Okay.
Just not on the fucking
show. So sad though. Oh, like, God. So sad. I mean, you know, like. But you know what? I'm excited for Rivals. Good to see Fessy back. Fessy was a great competitor. Never won, but a good competitor. Very dramatic. Very fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd like to go back to Battle of the Sexes. The women are killing it. Let's go back.
I like that.
And I think, and I don't know whose idea. It's not my original idea. It's either Bananas has floated this or Bill Simmons has floated this, but alliances. Not seasons. Vacation Alliance versus Angels, like let the players build and bring in their own pre-made alliances. Let them pick their own fucking teams for once and see what happens.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Like to bring in your own, like you have team captains, you have five captains. Team captains.
Like I literally just saw like
and you Tori draw from
is
that.
One.
Yes.
And Bananas is one.
And it's not just that. And you put cameras on the Zooms. You don't do it. You don't just say like, here's your 20 people, pick teams. You say, so for the last 4 weeks, you've been on the phones recruiting your team. Cut to package of Bananas trying to patch things over with Tor because he wants her on his team and yada yada. You know what I mean? Like that would be fucking great.
And everyone finding out that no one wanted Josh at the end of the day.
Josh you just see Josh sitting by his phone, waiting for it to like look at his Apple Watch.
I will say, I think he gets a bad edit. Listening to all these podcasts, they all speak so highly of Josh and they all genuinely love him so much.
So I'm nice. Like, but he's not a good competitor.
You're not good. Yeah.
He never wins. No. He just never wins.
But then again, neither does Nani, and we love her.
But Nani has been there forever and she brings the drama and she's so fiery that at least she's got something. Josh just like sounds so doofy. Like I don't take him seriously.
Wrong sort of fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us. This was so much fun. I love shooting the shit about these competition shows. They are endlessly entertaining. We will be back at some point in the next month and a half to finish our coverage on The Traitors. We'll be talking about a lot of other shows in the meantime. We'll be back to do a deep dive into Saturday Night Live in the next couple of weeks to celebrate its 50th season. Darren, how about this? 15 years since we were pages and I was on the SNL desk.
I can't believe it. Yeah, no, I can't believe that. I was Deaky. I can't fucking. You want to know what's weird? I think about it. So Deaky, Brandy, it was like, I just did The Weeknd, but I would handle all big audience people that would come in and I'd have to like usher them, Meg Ryan. You know who the first celebrity who ever came up to me right at the Hall of 30 Rock. Remember where we used to stand, Dan? Yes. I don't know if you knew, but right at the gate. And VIPs would come up being like, where do I go? Guy comes strolling up to me when I was a little page, takes off his hat, and he's like, hi, I'm Robin Williams. Do you know where I go? And I will never forget that. And then literally 3 years later, he killed himself. So you know what?
Oh, my God.
It is sad. It is sad, but I will never forget Robin Williams just being like, take off his hat and be like, hi, I'm Robin Williams. Like, totally chill. Hi, I'm Robin Williams. Do you know where I go? And I was like, you can go wherever you want.
And it's crazy.
You can go wherever you want.
I know. I'll tell one quick story and I'll have more for the SNL episode, but that reminds me, Steve Martin once, because the cardinal rule as a page is like, don't speak unless you're spoken to. Like,
these they're scum of the earth. Yeah.
Like, we're low level. We're here to facilitate and bring people where they need to be and yada, yada, yada. But if you're spoken to, don't be rude. And, you know, like, be personable. We hired you because you're also personable. Steve Martin asked me, what am I doing here? And what do I want to do with my career and with my life? And I'm like, I want to get through tonight's show without shitting my pants and then take it from there, basically. You know, like,
you're like, I don't know what to say. I just totally went blank.
Yeah, I totally went blank, but it was cool. Those fun little moments only at SNL, only on that hallway.
You didn't take that time to give him your pitch?
I didn't have one at that. I wasn't in fucking TV
Dan,
yet.
Always have a pitch. My God.
If you're at 30 Rock.
I know.
So true.
If only I knew. So all right. True. Anyway, this has been a blast. Thank you again,
love
Darren.
You guys. Thank you
what
guys.
Are you up to
Thank
these you, days? Where can people find you?
Find me at Carpe Darren. I do the 10 a.m. Today Show Hour once a month for my What's Poppin' segment. And I have a true crime podcast called Shaken and Disturbed. You can also see me on E! News. I just did an amazing one-on-one with Katy Perry.
Yes.
Captain Jason, all these good things. So, yeah, make sure you're watching.
Love it. Check Darren out. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.